Hi, and welcome to Baby Bliss Pregnancy Podcast. I'm your host, Lizette. I'm a mom, nurse, and educator, and I'm here to break down the need to know and the want to know about pregnancy, childbirth, and postpartum. As a disclaimer, I am not here to give medical advice. This is for educational purposes only. I encourage you to follow the advice of your physician or provider for any medical decisions related to your pregnancy, birth, and postpartum care. Okay, guys, I'm back and I'm so excited to be back with you all. This is episode 9. We're going to talk about blood and booty, postpartum and what to expect. So I'm going to give a couple of warnings. I'm going to talk about some things that for some people are kind of cringeworthy, but for others, they really want to know about it. And I'm sorry, you may hear my dogs kind of walking around a little bit and I have a little bit of a cold. So, you know, we just have a lot going on right now. And I'm so excited though to be back with you guys because I took a little hiatus and I didn't want to. However, not exactly the most brilliant idea to start a podcast when you go back to work after being off on maternity leave, because guess what? Your brain is trying to manage things. You're trying to organize a new routine with the family and everything. And I love doing these and I want to keep doing them and I want to answer your questions and give you that information. But I was just, it was like the struggle bus. I was just one day at a time kind of thing. And I know some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. So here we are back. We're going to talk about postpartum bleeding and a few other things. So vaginal bleeding is what we're going to start with, is normal after giving birth. And it doesn't matter if you give birth vaginally or C-section, which is the surgical kind. You are going to have vaginal bleeding. And a lot of women are surprised at what this is like because it's not like just a menstrual cycle. There's actually a normal transition and process that this goes through. And it's called lochia, L-O-C-H-I-A. And I know there's other providers that may say that word a little differently, but around here and everyone else I know, that's what we call it, lochia. So there's a normal transition that's going to happen, and every individual is going to be a little different on how long it lasts. So I can't just, you know, use my magic eight ball and ask, you know, is it going to be done by 3 weeks? I can't tell you that, but let's talk about what you should be expecting. And if you have any concerns, what you need to do about it. So this is bleeding and discharge. And you have to think, so after you give birth, again, no matter if it's vaginal or C-section, the baby comes out, the placenta, the amniotic fluid, but there's still going to be some stuff in the uterus. Not only that, but the uterus is enlarged holding the baby and needs to shrink back down in size. So there's a lot that's going to be happening. There was extra blood that needs to come out, shedding of the lining of the uterus, a little bit of amniotic fluid that's left over there, maybe some mucus and tissue. I know it all sounds beautiful, right? Pregnancy is beautiful. It is, guys. It's just, this is the other side you need to know about. So immediately after birth, no matter, again, what type of delivery you have or birth you have, the nurse is going to stay with you and ensure that you're feeling okay, assist you with breastfeeding during this time. It's called the golden hour. And that's that first hour after birth where the baby is a lot more awake and attentive. And it's a really great time to latch on and get to know each other as a family unit. And this is also the time they're going to monitor your vital signs a lot more and watch your bleeding. So in the beginning, they're going to be checking your fundus, F-U-N-D-U-S, fundus. That's the top of the uterus. And they're actually going to massage on it. And this can be uncomfortable, again, depending on your type of delivery, but it's necessary. This helps them to know, is the uterus contracting down like it's supposed to after birth? So we want that muscle to contract and be really firm when we press on it. And that tells us that it's not going to continue to hemorrhage. If it gets soft, if that muscle gets soft and loose, then you will keep hemorrhaging and we don't want that. Okay. We want that uterus to start this process of transitioning, and you are going to have bleeding, but it shouldn't be a hemorrhage, like lots and lots and lots of blood. So right after birth, the blood will be a little brighter red and heavier, which makes sense, right? You just gave birth. And it'll progress over time to darker red, brownish, and then more whitish in color. And I'm going to kind of break down each one of those for you. Some women bleed or have discharge for up to 4 to 6 weeks after birth. So plan on having plenty of pads. Or even, guys, those panties that have the panty liners in them, you just want to make sure that you are changing them out frequently enough to have good hygiene. But I'm not talking you need to have massive pads for the whole time. In the beginning, right after they get you back into the room, or if you gave birth in your delivery room or birthing room, then they're going to put on these beautiful mesh panties. They're like a one size fits all. Victoria's Secret does not have their branding on them, I promise you, but they're functional and they hold a massive pad in place against your perineum, against your labia, to allow to catch all the blood. And this way you're not messing up your nice panties. I mean, I say nice panties with like that idea that during pregnancy, I definitely was not in fancy panties. Can we just, we were all about comfort and up underneath the boobs is where they went. So just keep that in mind. This way you're just kind of keeping them clean and you're not having to worry about if you get something on them. These are the mesh panties you're going to wear while you're there for a while. Some women wear them until they go home. Others change into their regular underwear, and the pads get a little smaller over time. The first one feels huge, and it is on purpose. And then you can kind of go down to smaller ones till by the time you've been home for a little bit, you can go to panty liners. So, very important note, do not use tampons. That's a no-no, not in the beginning. You don't want to put anything into the vagina. And even though your hands may be clean before you insert them, there's bacteria, there's things we can't see. So we don't want to stick that up into the vagina. And absolutely no penis, no sex toys, no penis, none of that until everything's healed and or you're cleared by your provider. Okay. And that includes like, there's a lot of pelvic floor changes. Your cervix could be open and needs to still shut because that's what opened and dilated for that baby to come through. Or if you have an episiotomy or lacerations, they need to heal. Okay. And we'll talk about those in a minute. I know, like just everybody gets a little bit of fear in their eyes when I talk about that, but let's start first with the bleeding. So there's a progression. Lochia rubra is the brighter to darker red, and this is the first 3 to 4 days. It's heavier. There may be some clots. Clots are okay in the beginning, and even some maybe when you go home, as long as they're not too large. We don't want them the size of a lemon or a baseball or bigger, because that's too large. But if you think about it, when you're sitting in bed or laying in bed or even sitting on the couch at home, you're sitting for longer periods of time and your body's bleeding. Well, what happens is your body actually is set up to clot better right now because of the protective measure of where that placenta pulled away on the uterus, and your body's trying to clot it all off. So when you're sitting there, that blood will form a clot because it's just sitting in the vaginal vault. It's not coming out. So right after you give birth or even a little bit after you go home, that's okay. You just want to watch the size and the amount and kind of take note of those. Then the next one is lochia serosa, and that may last for a couple of weeks. Everyone's again different. This is more pinkish brown, kind of, you know, towards the end of a cycle, if you think of it that way, where you don't have quite as much brighter blood and it's going to more older blood, and it's going to be lighter in flow. So you're not filling pads, and a little more thin, so more watery, and little to no clots during this time. You may, again, like I said, have a couple, but if they're large is when you have a concern. The last transition is lochia alba, and that is after 10 days to maybe a couple of weeks. And it's more of, it's not bloody, it's more of a creamy discharge, like yellow or whitish. And you usually can get away with like a thin panty liner and not like a big heavy maxi pad. And it should not have any clots at all in it. So that's kind of your normal transition for bleeding. You will see a change in bleeding or your discharge, like an increase or things like that after you exercise. And we're going to talk about exercise in a couple more weeks on an episode, or going walking is really what I mean. Like if you get up and take the baby for a walk around the block, you may notice a little bit more. That's okay. As long as you're listening to your body and making sure that you're not overdoing it, that's normal. When you breastfeed, so after you breastfeed, or when you're breastfeeding, actually, the baby stimulates the nipple, by latching on, and that releases oxytocin in your body, which causes your uterus to contract. So you may feel crampy every time you breastfeed. That's why. And actually, it's a good thing. So, you know, take something for cramps, but just expect it and know that that cramping means your uterus is again contracting so that you don't bleed too much. And then also you're going to expect a little more discharge or blood when you get up first thing in the morning, right? Because you've been laying flat and or after resting with the baby, like if you've gotten to kind of rest for maybe a couple hours if the baby was down and you get up, then you're going to have a little bit more. So when to call the doctor about your bleeding? If you have large clots the size of a lemon or bigger, heavy soaking of a pad every hour. And I mean really soaking, like saturated. This is the time where actually what your menstrual cycle was like before the baby kind of lends itself to how do you react to bleeding. If there's some of you that have experienced really heavy bleeding all the time, you may not get alarmed when maybe you should be a little bit more. And then for some of you that just have a few dots of blood, or maybe you had an IUD or a different type of birth control that allowed for you to not have heavy cycles, this may seem alarming. So when I give you the saturated, I mean it's saturated in 30 minutes to an hour and you're having to change it out. That's too heavy. And this bleeding or this discharge should have a fleshy smell or like a metallic or musty smell like blood, right? That's the only way to say that. If it has a bad odor, a foul odor, then you have a problem and you need to contact somebody. If you have a fever of 100.4 or higher, then you need to call your provider because we want to make sure that you don't get an infection in the uterus, which can happen. Any nausea or vomiting or swelling or pain around the vagina. And I mean, like, you're going to have some swelling and pain right after birth if you had a vaginal delivery. I'm talking now it's getting worse or you go home and this is new. And then any dizziness or your heart is racing and you feel like it's just really heart palpitations, call your provider. Okay. So that's all the bleeding stuff. So now I'm going to give a very clear warning. I'm about to talk about stuff that a lot of people want to know about, but get a little about hearing. And that is episiotomies and lacerations. So what am I talking about? I am talking about episiotomies are when a provider makes a cut in the perineum. The perineum is the skin between the vagina and the butthole. Like men often call it the taint. That's what I'm talking about right there. That piece of skin's really important during a vaginal birth. Okay. It is going to stretch and give, and it's amazing, ladies, how much it can stretch and give. However, at some points, based on either your skin's ability to kind of give or the size of the baby, it can't give anymore. So it's either going to tear or the provider makes a cut. Now, a lot of women will have on their birth plan, I don't want to have an episiotomy. Me too, girlfriend. However, usually it's done because there's a reason, right? That we want to allow more space for that baby. Sometimes it's even done during emergencies to help facilitate the birth quicker, but they will cut with a pair of scissors, not like your kindergarten scissors, right? Like they're medical scissors. And this is after you are numb. So if you have like an epidural or something that has allowed you to be comfortable, they'll make sure you're numb before they do this. If you are going natural, if your plan is natural birth, they often use lidocaine or something to numb this area and let it take effect before they do the episiotomy cut. Okay. Again, there's actually very clear signs to the provider when this needs to happen. Historically, you know, there's all these stories of providers that just did it to everybody. And I am sure there were providers out there that did. That's not the case anymore. The other thing that can happen is called a laceration. This is a natural tear that happens. So some providers will let it tear, or you can ask, do you let it tear? Do you do an episiotomy? The tear has different degrees of depth. An episiotomy can do this as well. You can cut an episiotomy and it actually tears further and deeper into muscle. So you really, you know, can experience tears anywhere in the vagina, the labia, anywhere in that area, like inside the vaginal vault, the vagina itself, you can get something that's like road rash, like very tiny little tears of the mucosa that don't require sutures. They're just sting some. And you have to remember, you're giving birth, you're, you know, giving birth to a baby, and this baby's got to fit out a small door, ladies. And so sometimes these things happen, but that's why there's things for pain management. That's why there's repairs that can happen. So just listen, ask questions, and tell them what you're feeling. So things to know, very superficial tears don't require stitches. So if it's just a really small tear, they're not going to do a stitch. They're going to let it heal on its own. Others that do require stitches, often it can be one continuous stitch. So it's just the whole time. Again, they're going to want to make sure you're comfortable. You may feel movement while they're doing something, but you should not feel pain. So if you do, let them know. They want to make sure you're numb and comfortable. And what we look for with healing is that the edges are nice and healed together. Now, we don't expect you to go home and be able to see this. Your abdomen is still going to be distended looking because those muscles have been relaxed and pushed out so far. And really, you don't have 5 minutes to go sit and check out everything with a mirror. But what we look for when you're in the hospital, what your provider looks for at a visit, is that the edges come together, and it's what we call well approximated. So we want those edges to be together. No foul odor or drainage. And if you have any swelling, which you probably will, because the body's response is to swell some because of this cut or this tear. So you can put ice on that area. Now I say that only do about 15 minutes at a time because you don't want to cause damage to the skin. And there's lots of great now like gel packs you can put in the fridge that are specific to this area. Just make sure you don't put it next to like the vanilla ice cream. Like, you don't want to get stuff on this, or, you know, make sure it's clean, whatever you're putting on yourself. In the hospital, a lot of times what they do is they take a diaper and cut the top off, put ice in between the layers of the diaper, and put that against your perineum. What's nice about that, there's a barrier between the ice and you, and it helps absorb all the liquid, which is kind of nice. So that's actually a great, really inexpensive way to have that comfort. Another thing is something like Dermaplast or a topical numbing agent. So you can spray that on that area to help with discomfort. When you go to the restroom, you can use a bottle or a perineal bottle or a postpartum water bottle is what they're called. And you fill it with warm water. Not hot, not cold. You fill it with warm water, and you actually, while you're sitting on the toilet, squeeze it towards the direction of your tear and all over to really do a couple of things. A, it cleans you up a little bit, right? B, it helps to dilute urine. Urine is acidic, and it's going to burn on any kind of opening. So this dilutes it so it doesn't burn as much, and it just kind of helps get it clean, like I said. Make sure you blot with toilet paper. Do not wipe. So just take your toilet paper and blot. Never wipe back to front. You have to remember this cut or this tear is near your butthole, which is where bacteria comes out. That's normal processes of life, but we don't want to bring it into the cut or into where you've been sewn up. It can take a long time for this to heal, like 4 to 6 weeks, depending on the depth and depending on how you typically heal. So keep it clean to help it heal. The sutures they usually use dissolve and fall out on their own, okay? So that you won't have to go in and have them taken out is what I'm saying. So usually they dissolve on their own and fall out. Now, what you need to also know is part of the healing process is the symptom of itching. So you may feel really itchy, but actually that's a good thing. That's a sign that you're healing, but do not scratch. Okay. Do not scratch. Use some of that Dermaplast, use some of that ice to kind of get things a little cool and numbed up. Other things you can do, to help soothe is witch's hazel, which you can buy over the counter and put it on a little pad, or they have some that are like impregnated pads with witch hazel, or you can do a sitz bath. So a sitz bath, And I remember, like, when I was younger, I'd hear about a sitz bath, but I didn't really know what it was. And we stopped doing them in the hospital, or at least in my hospitals that I've worked at. You fill the bathtub with a couple of inches of water, not a lot. Warm water, again, not hot. And you sit in it for 10 to 15 minutes. So it just needs to cover, like your vagina and your bottom and just kind of everything that needs to heal. And it's going to help with discomfort. Like, if you think about when your muscles are really tired or your body hurts, that water, and especially warm water, can be soothing. This can also help with hemorrhoid discomfort, which we can talk about in another episode. But some women have hemorrhoids they develop during pregnancy, and some because of pushing. And this can help with discomfort and promotes healing. Again, padding dry when you get out, do not rub. You can also add Epsom salts to this, and you can get, like, they even, you can purchase like a sitz bath that goes over your toilet so that you're not having to get down into a bathtub, or if you don't have a bathtub at your home, that it allows you to do this easily at home. And you can do it a couple times, sit in it for a little bit, you know, then do it a couple of times during the day. Things that you need to watch out for. Again, a fever of 100.4 or higher. Pain or itching that gets worse, not better. Your perineum swelling does not go down, or it gets more swollen or red. Fluid is leaking from the tear or a foul odor, and those things are not good. So you want to call your provider as soon as possible. So I have a couple of links that'll be in the show notes for postpartum bleeding and also just some care things that you can do for tears and episiotomies. I don't want to scare you. That's not why I'm here. I just want to provide this information. And for some women, they feel better knowing what potentially could happen or what to do for care than if they didn't know at all. So, and I think we just don't talk sometimes about some of these, you know, uncomfortable things because we're like, ooh, perineum, I don't want to talk about it. It's okay. This is an important part of vaginal deliveries, vaginal births. And so we want to make sure we address it so you know what to look for when you're going home with your little one and your support person is asking, well, what can I do? Okay, honey, I need you to watch the baby for 10 or 15 minutes. I'm going to go take a sitz bath. So I hope this was really helpful. I'm so excited to be back doing these with you guys. Please make sure to like and subscribe the podcast on whatever preferred listening program you have. And then make sure to rate us and help to share this with friends and family or anyone that you know that's going through this process. And I will see you guys later with another episode. Have a great rest of your week.